The other one that we're having after next Sunday morning is the congregational meeting. After the morning service, the congregational meeting will take place to vote on the proposal that we presented last week, and that is voting for a minister for Christ Church Edinburgh. Please get in touch with Ewan Clark if you are a communicant member and would like to vote but are unable to be present then. Please continue to pray for this matter and God's will and God's glory. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact one of the elders or the intermoderator. On Tuesday the 3rd of March, Ladies Bible Study is here in the church at 1:30, and all the ladies are welcome and are still studying in John's Gospel. Wednesday the 4th of March, as I said this morning, there's no prayer meeting, but I haven't had any information about house groups. So maybe before we leave tonight, you maybe know what's happening about house groups. You and I have the information. Okay. Or someone will have the information, we'll get to know before you go home. Thursday club, the next meeting will be the 12th of March for a soup lunch at 12:30. And that's all the intimations and notices at the moment.
Can we announce, so fellowship group says one at Peggy's on Tuesday at 7:30 and one at ours on Wednesday at 7:30.
Okay, thank you. I'm pretty happy with that. Okay, just see Peggy and Mark at the end of service and they'll keep you in the right direction. Thank you. So again, it's our privilege to have Moses with us, and we'll just hand over. He'll lead us in worship, and thank you very much for taking the call. I've left your sermon there.
Thank you very much for having me again this evening. I've enjoyed meeting you, and I've enjoyed your hospitality. May our worship this evening would be pleasing to our God and Saviour. Our call to worship this evening is from Psalm 27. Psalm 27, the first verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let us sing and let's stand and sing praises to our God. We'll sing Psalm 13.
See my Let's pray. Our good and gracious God, we come into your presence this evening, and with joy we extol your name because you have been good to us. We thank you for a fresh experience of your goodness on this Lord's Day. We thank you for consecrating this day for your glory, your worship, and all good. We thank you for the reminder of the resurrection. We thank you that many, many Sundays ago, that your Son rose victorious from the grave, that he defeated once and for all our last enemy. We thank you, O God, that although we carry the marks of death in our bodies, that we know that Jesus has won the victory over death. Thank you, O God, that we have been won by your love. We have been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the light of your Son. We marvel at the grace that you have shown to us. We marvel at the grace that you show to us even now as we limp and struggle with sin and sickness. We marvel at the future grace that will be available to us tomorrow and in the days to come. We thank you, O God, that you are rich in mercy. We thank you because your steadfast love abounds far greater than all of our sins. We confess again, O God, our sins this evening. Even today we have not kept your commandments as we ought to. We have not taken the Lord's Day seriously. We have not looked to the cross enough. We have not looked to the future that awaits us enough. Instead, we have looked to other things to satisfy us. Would you please forgive us, O God? But give us again from your word reminders of the forgiveness that is available to us because of Jesus Christ. We commit, O God, our weeks to you, the things that await us, and we ask for your help in our family situations, family relationships. We know the effects of sin in our families so personally, the brokenness. Would you give us grace, O God, to treat each other with love, with mercy and kindness and forgiveness? Would you use our words to repair brokenness? Would you, by your grace, mend broken relationships? We ask, O God, for friendships to be renewed. We ask, O God, for your kingdom to advance even through our mediocre, mundane lives. We pray, O God, that you would find us faithful today and in the days to come. We pray that you would bless and keep us, and you would make your face to shine upon us, especially as we read and reflect on your word. We thank you again for this Lord's Day and the glories in it. We long, O God, to see that great Lord's Day that's coming, where we will feast again in your house with your people and with those who have gone before us. Help us, O God, to long for that day all the more as this day draws to a close. We pray and ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our evening sermon would be also in 1 John. So if you would turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1, and consider verses 5 through 10 this evening. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10 this evening. Thank you again for having me here, and I hope that the opportunities that I have here to bring God's word to you would be beneficial to you, and I hope that I'd be able to walk you through this small letter that the Apostle John wrote in his 90s. He's old, he has seen life, he has seen the church go through various trials and temptations, he has seen his friends and his fellow apostles be martyred, seen suffering, he sees false teaching, and he is writing to this church in Ephesus hundreds of years ago, and he's writing to you this evening to give you Christian confidence. He wants us to know that we belong to God and that we are loved by God. So in these verses that we would consider this evening, John wants us to see God's character and see how God's character should inform our conduct, daily conduct as Christians. God is light, John would say. And then he says that we ought to walk in the manner that God has set before us. So let me read God's word and pray, and we can look at what God has to say to us this evening. This is God's word, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. This is God's holy, inerrant word. May he add his blessings to the preaching of it and the reading of it. Let me pray and ask God for his help once more. Dear God, we ask you for the illumination of the Holy Spirit. We ask you that even as we sit in the darkness here, that you would shine your light, because in your light do we see light, and in your light do we see our own sins, and in your light do we see the path that you have set before us. So speak to us, and speak to me, and speak through me to your saints, and nourish us with your word. We pray and ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. We sing that hymn during Christmas, during Christmas season. Here in these six verses, we are reminded of God's character, because John the Apostle makes this statement in verse 5. He says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And so this evening, I want to look at how God's character as holy, him being holy and him being pure, should inform our Christian life. And I want us to consider five facets of that. Five facets of how God's character as light should inform our conduct as Christians. First, I want us to look at God's character as light and Christian communion in verse 6. And second, we'll look at God's character as light and Christian conduct. So Christian communion, Christian conduct. And thirdly, we'll look at God's character as light and look at Christian confession. What does it mean to confess our sins? And fourthly, we'll look at Christian cleansing, how God's character as light informs the cleansing that we receive continually. And lastly, we'll look at how God's character as light informs the Christian confidence. I can't help it with these alliterations sometimes, but it's a good way to, I think, remember them. So again, Christian communion, Christian conduct, Christian confession, Christian cleansing, and Christian confidence. Firstly, Christian communion. This morning, we looked at the fact that Jesus Christ was sent into the world, and Jesus Christ took on human body so that we would have fellowship with the church, the apostles, and with God himself. But in verse 6, John recognizes a real problem that exists in the church. So in verse 6, John says this: if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. John is saying that fellowship with God and fellowship with one another is impossible and it's incompatible with life in the darkness. Fellowship with us, with one another, impossible in the darkness, because sin, the sin that clings to us so tightly, it damages our relationships horizontally and our relationships vertically with God. Sin actually tears asunder not only the relationships between relationship of our bodies, it tears asunder the relationship of our souls, our faculties, the disconnect between our brain and, our brain and the rest of our body parts. Sin can actually disrupt that fellowship that a human body ought to have with itself. Sin disrupts our fellowship with each other. There's brokenness everywhere. There's brokenness in marriages, in sibling relationships, and in friendships. There's brokenness in the church, because sin has a way of making us curve in and of, inward to ourselves. Sin has a way of elevating our own egos at the expense of putting others down. So John says, we can't claim to have fellowship with God while we still continue in sin. So God as light, his purity, his holiness, actually signifies his absolute otherness from who we are. We are sinners. We are created beings who have fallen away from him. But God as light is high and lifted up. There is nothing evil in him. He is pure and he's set apart from all evil. So how can oil and water mix? How can something unclean and clean mix? Put positively, John is saying fellowship with one another is only possible in the light. Fellowship with God is only possible in the light, meaning that as we walk in the light, as we walk in alignment with God's precepts for us, then fellowship is possible. I don't know if you have sunflowers in Scotland, but in Sri Lanka, where I come from, we've got sunflowers. And you know, sunflowers are heliotropic plants. They move with the sun. So if you go to a sunflower field, you would see sunflowers moving from the east to the west. And sunflowers would move together with the sun and with other flowers with them. I think Christian fellowship is somewhat similar in that as we pursue the light, as we pursue God himself, we are nourished by his light and we become aligned more and more to pursue God, and we would start moving together in fellowship in our churches, in our families, and in all spheres of relationship. So God as light, informing Christian communion in verse 6. And secondly, how does God as light inform Christian conduct? In verse 7, John says this, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all our sin." All sin, the ESV puts it. Walking in the light as he is, he himself is in the light, is the way to live the Christian life. Jesus says in John 12, he says this, "I have come into the world as a light, so that the one who believes in me should not remain in darkness." And in John 3, Jesus says this, but whoever, John says, "You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Let me turn to John 6 real quick. After that great verse in John 3:16, he says this, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And John goes on to say this, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world." God is light in the person of Jesus Christ, has come into the world. And people loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. God as light directs and he enlightens his people, as light dispels darkness, the darkness of ignorance and sin, providing direction and clarity. God as light makes known to us the path of life. So walk in the light. Walking has been part of the Christian grammar for a long time. You remember the Israelites, when they were set free from bondage to sin, they walked towards the promised land. They were set free from slavery to Egypt, and they walked through the wilderness as the pillar of bright cloud by day led them, and as the pillar of fire led them by night. God as light has not left us in the darkness. He rescued us from the darkness, and he gives us the way to go. So the psalmist would say, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." Jesus says in John 8, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Come into the light, Christian. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. He informs our Christian communion, how we fellowship with one another. He informs our Christian conduct. We should put the word of God before us and follow his precepts. And thirdly, God is light and Christian confession. Christian confession. I don't know about you, but I grew up in a small island off of Sri Lanka. It's called Manar, and I grew up with a lot of Roman Catholics around me. And because I grew up in that setting, the word confession always it carried a bad connotation in my vocabulary, because I had heard about how that was abused in the Roman Catholic Church. So I naturally became averse to it. But in verse 8, John says this, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And in verse 9, he says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does confession mean? What does confession mean to you? I think in the original language, it simply means to say the same thing. To say the same thing, meaning name it. Name a sin for what it is. Say it out loud. If it's an offense against someone, say it out loud. Describe the sin for what it is. And as an offense against God and as an offense against neighbor. To see sin the same way God sees sin and acknowledging it is what confession is. Seeing sin and acknowledging it the way that God sees it is confession. God as light. Not only does he give us truth about himself and about the world, but he also gives us the truth about who we are. He reveals us truths about ourselves. He reveals us our own sins so that we may see our sins for what they are and confess them. We can confess private sins privately. We can confess public sins publicly. Sin actually loses its power when we confess our sins. We confess our sins to each other. We can confess our sins to the elders of the church and find forgiveness that comes from God. In Proverbs, the author says this: whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, for whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. So confess your sins. Do you confess your sins? Do you confess your sins to God? Do you confess your sins to the neighbor that you've wronged? There is mercy to be found in confessing our sins, because God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins when we confess our sins to him. Fourthly, God as light and Christian cleansing. So Christian communion first, Christian conduct second, Christian confession third, and Christian cleansing. In verse 7 and in verse 9, we read these truths. I'll read verse 7 through 9 again. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So cleansing in verse 7 towards the end, and cleansing again in verse 9 towards the end. The same blood of Jesus Christ that acts as a glue to keep us in fellowship with one another is the same blood that now acts as a solvent to dissolve the sin that clings to us so tightly. Christians need to be cleansed every day. One theologian said it this way: the Christian life is not just a one-time repentance. It is to be characterized by continual repentance. I think it was Martin Luther who said that. All of us Christians, we need cleansing every day. And Jesus says that if you come to him with a contrite heart and confess your sins, and if you come to him broken and needy, he'll never cast you out. No matter what kind of sin you bring to him, he'll never cast you out. There is cleansing that is available for all kinds of sin. This is a great passage in a John Bunyan book, where John Bunyan writes this. He says, the sinner says, I am a great sinner. But Christ says, I will never cast you out. You say that you're an old sinner. You're a hard-hearted sinner. You're a backsliding sinner. You say you've served Satan all the day long. You've sinned against grace. You've sinned against light. You've sinned against mercy. You say that you have nothing to bring to God. But Christ says, if you come to me, I'll never cast you out. Stained garments are washed and left in the sunlight to be cleansed and brightened. Likewise, we bring our filthy garments, our righteousness that are like filthy garments because of sin. And Jesus' blood washes us clean. It purifies us and makes us righteous in God's light. I've been in Scotland only for a few months now, and I haven't had the time to travel to see your highlands, Scottish highlands. I come from Sri Lanka, and we have the Sri Lankan highlands of our own. Sri Lanka is a small country. I think Scotland is about 20% larger than Sri Lanka. But in Sri Lanka, in the middle of Sri Lanka, you have these highlands, very beautiful mountains. And I think our highest peak is about double the height of Ben Nevis, is that correct? Very high mountains. And in Sri Lanka, if you drive for 30 minutes, every 30 minutes, the landscape changes, because from mountains to hills to plains and to coastal land, the landscape changes all the time. And most of our water supply actually comes from the mountains. Rivers flow down from the mountains, and they reach to the furthest parts of the island. And just like those rivers that flow from the mountaintops to the furthest and the driest parts of Sri Lanka, the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ is able to really get into the driest parts of our hearts. It is able to get into the parts of our hearts that we have no idea exist, sins that we've committed for generations, and generational sins, national sins, habitual sins of all that we just repeat. Jesus' blood is able to give us cleansing as the rivers yearn to reach the lowest place. Cleansing is available to all parts of who we are. All parts of who we are, no matter the sin. You remember right before Jesus goes to the cross, he washes the disciples' feet, and Peter doesn't like the idea of being washed by Jesus. And Jesus stops Peter and says, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And Peter suddenly awakens to the truth of what this washing means, and he says, not just my feet, but wash my hands and my head as well. Washing, cleansing is available to the Christian. Do you go to the fountain of the cross to have your sins washed away? Not just every Sunday, but every day. There's plenty of grace to be found there. So Christian communion, Christian conduct, Christian confession, Christian cleansing, and lastly, Christian confidence. Christian confidence. You remember, John is writing this letter to give us Christian assurance. He wants us to know that we indeed have eternal life. So as he expounds on these various facets of the Christian life, Christian communion, Christian conduct, confession, cleansing, and all of those things, he wants us to examine ourselves and he wants us to find confidence. So he wants us to look at where we are in all of these things. We can look at the way we fellowship with one another as an indication of where we stand in front of God. We can look at our Christian conduct. Do we obey God's word? Do we confess our sins to God and to others? Do we find cleansing from Jesus Christ? But ultimately, though, John does not want us to find our confidence from these things. He wants us to find our confidence from who God is. Because after all, everything that we do, our communion, our conduct, our confession, all of those things, those would never measure up to God's standards. And the things that we receive from God, our reception of God's goodness, we don't receive things that are freely given to us as well as we would like to, because we are fallible and we are broken. So the only thing that can give us confidence, Christian confidence, is God's character. So John says in verse 9 towards the end, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Where do we stand at the end of the day? Do we stand in our communion with one another? Do we say that we have confidence because of our conduct? No. We have to go to God's character. He is faithful and righteous. He doesn't just sweep away our sins under the carpet of the universe. He actually had his son pay the penalty for our sins. He is the propitiation for our sins. Two verses later in chapter 2 of 1 John, we read, he is the propitiation for our sins. Jesus actually bled for us. So God is just in forgiving sinners like you and me because the perfect Lamb of God took our place. He died in our place. So God is just and righteous. And God as light actually also informs us of these characteristics, right? When theologians talk about God being light and his glory shining forth, they talk about his attributes being put on display. So here, when John says God is light, and then he says he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, he is putting God's character on display, and he's calling us to find our confidence, not in mere sentiments, not in what we've done, but in the very essence of who God is. So Christian, as you think about your own standing before God, and as you think about the assurance that God wants you to have, look at your life, but look to God's character most importantly, because he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who have dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. May that give you confidence as you reflect on your life and on who God is for you and for your sake. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for these these truths that we've all always known, but a fresh reminder of all of them. Would you please take those truths and plant them deep in us? Would you give clarity to your people as they think about these truths? Would you remove any confusion that may have come out because of my own weakness? I pray, oh God, that you would give your people yourself, and that they would find their confidence in you. We pray and ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing our last hymn. O great God of highest heaven. Have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever.